Good morning. My name is Guy Huber, and I'm a member of your church council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are worshiping with us today on our live stream from holytrinitybuffalo.org. These are the announcements for this week, and there's more in the bulletin. Please check the bulletin. The church office will be closed tomorrow in observance of Memorial Day. Our community meal ministry, Sue's Supper, will be serving a free community dinner this Wednesday at 5:30, and we will hold a brief evening worship following that dinner. The Network of Religious Communities annual dinner will be held at Samuel's Grand Manor on Thursday, June 13th at 6 p.m. This year, a very deserving recipient is Ethel Schleifer. Tickets are $45. Please call the church office by May 28th to reserve a seat. There's also Paint the Haitian Sunset, which is on Friday, June 7th. Look in the bulletin for those announcements. Have a great day and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. The whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast
of victory for our God. All
Let us pray together. Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your spirit, we may love one another and the world you made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite any young people of the congregation to come forward. Wow, you guys are really far away from everybody else. Don't you feel lonely over there? No. So I have a question for you guys. How do you greet somebody? Like, how do you say hello to somebody? Hello. Do any of you guys have, like, a secret handshake or a not-so-secret handshake? Like, none of you come up and be like, hey, dude. Right? I know that was a little weird. I'm not like that either. Right? Are you guys like that? Like, hey, what's up? No? Yes. Oh my goodness. Gracias. I couldn't get the first syllable. Yes. None of you guys have a secret handshake? I'm disappointed. You do? Do you want to share it with us? Then that's not a secret, right? But if you share it with everybody, it wouldn't be a secret. Right? Like, I don't have a secret handshake either. It's a little... I'm not like that either, Angelo. Like, right? Like, some people have, like, all kinds of weird things. They'll go up to people and be like, hey, man. Right? Like, I'm just not good at it. Like, I'm just like, hey, how you doing? Right? How you guys doing? I'll wave. Or, like, sometimes I'll see somebody like Lillian, and I'll be like, oh, my gosh, those are the cutest shoes ever. You have to see her shoes if you haven't. They're little unicorns. They are the best. Right? Like, we all have ways that we say hello to somebody and ways that we greet somebody. But did you know that we do that in church, too? And we do it at a special time in the service. Can any of you guess when and where that is? I'll give you a hint. You're usually not here for it. Yeah. When you say peace be with you, and what do you do when that happens? You shake everybody's hand. So what does that mean? When I come up to you and I say, peace be with you. Peace be with you, right? Peace be with you. 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 What does that mean?
Hello.
Hello? But what else? What does that mean when we say that to somebody else? To praise God. Did you know that in today's gospel lesson, that is where we're going to hear that? That Jesus comes back to the disciples and he says, peace I leave with you and peace I give you. And that just means that when we say this to somebody else, that we're sharing God's peace and God's love and God's grace with someone else. And when they say, like good Lutherans do, and also with you, that means that they're sharing that back with us. So when we greet somebody in the middle of the service, it's not like a, hey, how you doing? How was your week? But it's a special time for us to share in God's love with one another, to remind other people that they're loved by God, and for you to be reminded that you too are loved by God. So the next time somebody comes up to you and says, peace be with you, and you say, and also with you, what are you going to remember? God, and that God loves you. Pretty cool, huh? I think so anyways. And no, it doesn't have to be like, hey man, what's up? Let's pray, and then there is Sunday school. That's not a statement, that's a question. Yes. So if you do, you're up with Miss Angie today. All right. Oh, and Mr. Dan's already up there. Fantastic. Mr. Dan is one of the new Sunday school teachers. All right, let's pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for giving us this day, for bringing us together to worship with you and to learn all about you, to be here with our friends, and to know that we are forever and unconditionally loved by you, that when we greet one another, we can share that love with one another in the simple words of peace be with you, that through these words, we can help remind others that they too are loved by God. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, have fun in school.
The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is recorded in Acts, the 16th chapter. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord. The second reading for today is recorded in Revelation, the 21st chapter. And in the Spirit, one of the angels carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered, "Judas, not Iscariot, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. And I ask that you pray first with me this morning. Good and gracious God, thank you for this day, for giving us the opportunity to once again gather together around your word and meal. Like Lydia, we ask that you open our hearts to eagerly hear your word, to strengthen us to extend a welcome and a generous hospitality to all those who enter our doors. And we ask all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. When traveling with a group of people, most times you don't know what to expect, what type of accommodations will be made, where you will sleep, or what you will eat. When traveling with Dr. Marty Stevens, one of the first things I learned was that whether traveling solo or with a group, accommodations with her were always the same. When traveling with Dr. Stevens, you travel as she would travel, which means that experiences in food and hospitality are experienced in ways that might not otherwise be experienced when traveling with a large group. I had the opportunity to experience this type of trip led by Dr. Stevens when I visited Turkey, fittingly following the footsteps of Paul. Every meal we had felt like a decadent five-course meal with food that melted in your mouth. Turkish teas, rice pudding, meatballs, and chocolate. It is a rare occasion that I would experience this type of meal here in America. One afternoon, our lunch stop was what looked like a small country kitchen. But inside the kitchen and the serving area was filled with food of all types. The restaurant had closed that afternoon just for us. The food this day was especially filling, for this was a special stop. We had been invited into an intimate setting with the owners who treated us as their house guests, allowing us an inside look into what it meant to cook these Turkish dishes. We were able to learn from our hosts what a meal with them actually meant, to experience firsthand the joy of food and their culture and what food can do for people in building relationships over a meal. Louisa Shafia writes, "Hospitality is a bedrock of cultures and countries across the Middle East, and it manifests in ways that would likely take Americans by surprise. While there are many ways people show it, perhaps the grandest expression of Middle Eastern hospitality is surprise through food." But we're skipping ahead. We haven't quite made it to the food part, if there even was one. Our story this morning from Acts focuses on an encounter between Paul and his companions and Lydia, a woman from Thyatira, who now resided in Philippi. We don't know much about Lydia or how she came about living in Philippi, but this is where she meets Paul, outside the gates of the city by a river. Paul had seen a vision to visit a man from Macedonia and has instead found a group of women by the river. Our text this morning tells us that Lydia was a worshiper of God, that her and the other women had been in conversation with Paul. Lydia seemed, by all accounts, to have influence in this small community, rare for a woman in that day. We know that she was a dealer in purple cloth, which by all accounts seemed to be a lucrative business, as purple cloth was reserved for the rich and powerful as a result of how it was made. And we also know that Lydia was head of her household. We don't know much about the interaction and what was said between Paul and his companions and to Lydia and the group of women. But what we do know is that Paul meets Lydia while searching for a place of prayer, and that by the end of this encounter, Lydia's heart has been opened to what Paul has said, that her and her household have been baptized, and that she had some knack in prevailing upon Paul and his companions to come and stay at her home. So much so that Paul comes back and stays with Lydia after his release from prison, which you will hear more about next week. Lydia has opened her door to Paul and his companions. She has offered him a place of rest and of food. Lydia offers support to the growing ministry that Paul has begun, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to all people. Lydia is not native to Philippi and opens her doors to strangers in a place where she once was a stranger. For Paul and the growth of the church, hospitality and generosity seem to be the cornerstone. Paul and his companions rely on the hospitality and generosity of the people that they encounter at every stop. It's interesting that Lydia gets top billing in this Acts story, going even further to round out this chapter in Acts, as women's stories are often not told, that what they provide in the support of the ministry is often overlooked. Mimi Hadid writes, "The power of God continually brings spiritual renewal in our lives. Just consider the life of the Apostle Paul, whose inner transformation in Christ so altered his worldview that it compelled him to abandon and resist the ethnic and gender segregation of the Jewish priesthood in which he grew up. In its place, he promoted the priesthood of all believers, developing a social structure of spiritual leadership that eventually undermined centuries of slavery and subjugation of women. Jesus ate with sinners and with tax collectors and with prostitutes. Jesus engaged with women theologically, expecting them to respond not as a distinct class, but as a people, as disciples, and as heirs of God's kingdom. Jesus broke religious and social taboos related to gender, and Paul did the same. As with Jesus, women were among Paul's closest co-workers, those who labored beside him in the gospel. Hospitality and generosity may be found in the expected places, coming from those who we do not anticipate will extend it. Paul set sail looking for a man and instead encounters a group of women. The growth of the church is a team effort, an effort that requires the extension of hospitality and generosity. And ministry is often equated to those individuals and things that are visible, the ministers and the sacraments and the choir and the ushers. However, ministry is made possible by those who often are not seen and at times not named. For ministry to be effective, it takes a whole team. We are all co-laborers. The church is strengthened by those who demonstrate their faithfulness in both words and deeds, and by those who extend generous hospitality. In the proclamation of the word, hearts are opened, and where hearts are opened, so are doors. Amen. gather together as one, let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, found on page 10 of your worship bulletins. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Prevail upon us with your Spirit. Convince us daily that you have called us to proclaim the good news of your grace. Let all who love you proclaim your word of life. Bless all communities of faith, including the Buffalo City Cluster, for Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Feed us with the bounty of your creation. Bless the earth with enough rain and sunshine for the flourishing of orchards, gardens, and fields. Give us thankful hearts as we share the fruit of the land with all who hunger. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. The leaves of your tree of life are for the healing of the nations. Bring an end to civil war, genocide, terrorism, and violence. Overcome divisions of race, politics, and religion. Mend relationships across borders and across seas. And we pray especially for all men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Our hearts are troubled and afraid. Visit us again with your peace. Comfort those facing uncertain futures, those who are unemployed or underemployed, those in difficult relationships, those with chronic pain, those waiting for news about their health, and those who are sick. And we pray for all those we now name out loud and those we remember in our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We give you thanks for all who have died in service to nation. Inspire us to walk in your light and to live for the sake of freedom and justice for your children. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially today for Charlotte and Genevieve. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Open the gates of salvation to all who are written in your book of life. Lead us into the city that needs no light of sun or moon, where you will be our light forever. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Let us pray together. Risen One, as you broke bread with the disciples on the shore, meet us now in this meal. Nourish us to follow you, using our gifts to feed the hungry and tend the weary, and all for your love's sake. Amen. You are indeed holy, almighty, and merciful God. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin may be formed to live as your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. Living God, you have greeted us in our brokenness and nourished us with the body of Christ, broken for us. Risen to new life with you, send us now to bear your healing love into the wounded world. In the name of our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Gracious God, you took the form of a servant, offering yourself as food, comfort, and strength to a sick and hurting world. Anoint with a servant heart those who take your word and sacrament to our sisters and brothers in their homes, in prisons, and in hospitals. Grant grace, mercy, healing, and hope to those who feast on your body and blood and receive your words of new life. May we all recognize that we have a place and a home in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen.
Thank you.
body of Christ raised up for the world. Go in peace, share the good news. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.